mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 371. I'm Adam, and I haven't prepared a quote this week because I've been busy. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Usually I only entertain friends in the TARDIS.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
There is no antimatter aboard this ship!
Yeah, right.
If I thought, I'll think up a quote later on when we actually start looking at the episode. Few skivers this week.
One, two, three, four, I can get you six more.
Hang on, what was that all about? You were gone all quiet. What's the matter with you?
Well, I said that, Adam, you could have just gone, argh!
Yeah, I did think of doing that, argh. Hang on, what's the dog doing?
What are you going over there for?
Oh, Magic's gone over to the other corner. There, can you see? If you're watching the Facebook Live thing, you see Magic in one corner by the exercise bike there, and in his usual place over the other side is Star. So, and she's doing a pussycat thing of licking her backside at the moment. I will soon be stopping her. It's very uncouth on the live podcast, especially a video version. Magic normally sits there, so he's a bit out of sorts at the moment. I don't know what to lob at her. What shall I lob at her, Deb?
Faster.
Yes.
A DVD.
A DVD. I've got a screwdriver here. Will that be of...
It's not a Sonic one.
I've got the bell. I've got the bell, which probably won't
I
be...
I was thinking of the bell, but then I
thought
you'd
be... Won't
be
doing much for you lot today, because obviously you lot are rubbish. Yes?
You could have... A very good quote you could have used is the one that you hear over and over and over again if you just start the DVD. It's alive, you know, Baldwin. It watches
everything. I'm not bothered about stuff like that. I'll find something that I really like. Oh, Star's all right. She's stopped licking the backside now. I can actually get on. Okay. Don't you even think you're going to leave the room? Oh, he's from the proper shiver now. She's so pathetic, isn't it? Hang on. I can still hear people talking. Is very spooky.
No, that was I had turned on the live feed on my tablet.
Get over there.
So I could see Star and Magic.
Can't see Magic. He's just sat next to me, quivering, like a pathetic quiverer. So let's get on with what's this program called again? Oh yeah, Planet of Evil. Okay, right. I'm just waiting for it to start up because I'm using my other Mac to do that. So if everybody looks on the TV thingamajig, I've got my you can see my right ear because I'm looking over here for the video. Probably would have been better to have it on this machine, but I'm not. So it starts with the title sequence, and we see an orange coming into view, a very darkly lit orange, has to be said. And then we see a little jungle scene
in the jungle, the mighty jungle.
The bloke from Monty Python steps out of the door. It looks like he's holding some sort of pickaxe or something, and he nearly says it's a monster, but what he actually does, he plants in another sort of essential, not a gravestone, a grave marker. Magic's taken up his position now by the door, and just after he plonks down that grave marker, another chap is Sorensen is messing around with some equipment by a hole. And,
it's Professor Mirius.
What, the one with the beard? Oh, you mean Sorensen?
Sorensen,
yeah. He's singing Isle of Sinkers.
Yeah, basically,
there.
I think, Debbie, Kirby's alluding to that this is the man who made K-9.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but it's not really relevant at the moment because he hasn't done it yet. So they're...
He will in the future.
They're faffing around by the mine.
I'm going to be attempting to cosplay Professor Mirius. Or someone similar in a couple of months. So.
Are you really? That's right. Laurie Nix.
I'm meeting Louise Jameson.
Never mind that. Laurie Nix says, "Ooh, two little puppy dogs in the background today. One behaving themselves, not being utterly pathetic, and the other one doing the complete opposite." And even Star's looking back at Magic and saying, "What the hell's the matter with you, you donut?" Right. So thank you, Laurie. And guess what? Alan Petit Butcher says, "Other the Garm." Back to the episode. So, like I said, the chap with the beard gets attacked by some invisible thing. And then the TARDIS arrives after another bit of attacking of people. Oh, sorry, it didn't arrive yet. Sorry, we have an interior shot of the TARDIS, which is the first one we've had since Tom Baker became the Doctor. Very sort of low-standard set, really, for the TARDIS. They haven't really been bothered to put a lot of effort
into it.
It
doesn't really look right at all.
The roundels aren't particularly prominent, but they're there. Oh, there is one wall of roundels, which they must have borrowed from what was left of John Pertwee's set. Yes, but anyway, that's the first time we see the interior of the TARDIS in the Tom Baker era. And then they arrive in the jungle, like you said last
the
week.
Jungle.
Very, 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 very well rendered jungle, because it's in some, was it Elstree Studio or something like that? I can't remember what, Ealing? Ealing Studios?
I think it's in Ealing.
It's proper film set.
It's on film rather than video.
Yeah, it's very good. But then we see
Set designer was they tried to nominate him for an award for the set because it was so great.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately, they never nominated him.
Okay. And then a spaceship approaches the Yorinj, the planet, containing lots of men wearing very strange uniforms. No women in the crew.
Aren't these uniforms that are late? Will later be used on Blake 7?
You tell me. I wouldn't know.
I've only seen a couple of episodes of Blake 7, but I seem to recall it may have been Matthew said that.
I don't know. But we've got Prentice Hancock, who plays Salamar, is it? Isn't that a disco band from the 70s, Deb?
Salamar. It sounds like it.
And this also looks like the bridge to Robots of Death. Sort of. Does it? I suppose it does. Well, we'll find out.
If you say so. Now, Prentice Hancock plays Salamar. I don't remember him smiling throughout the whole series. And he does a lot of moaning, and his bottom lip sticks out every time he sort of moans the end of a sentence. It's a bit like, Debbie, I don't know how old you are. I do, really. I'm just saying that for the sake of a conversation. But if you remember, the Conservative and the Labour politicians from the 1970s used to do this. They'd sort of speak their words, and at the end of the sentence, their lip would come out like that. If you're watching the video,
I don't really remember that, but I do remember the spitting image really parodying that sort of thing.
Well, the lip sticking out. Now, the person who invented The person who invented this particular sort of feature of politicians and Prentice Hancock in this story was, in fact, Winston Churchill. He was the first of these, but they all lapped. Even James Callaghan used to do it, and so did that one, that Silly Billy bloke. Who was that? Silly Billy, that bloke. Who used to say that? Dennis Healy. He used to do it, and so did Harold Wilson. So they all used to do it, and I don't remember that pervert.
I was born in 1977. Ted Heath. I don't remember him doing it.
Yeah, come on, you must be educated. What's his name? Mike Yarwood used to do all sorts of impressions of these people. Star is now scratching at the Welcome to the House mat for some reason. Welcome Madhouse. It says Welcome to the Madhouse. She's currently scratching at. Don't know if she's trying to, you know, just emphasise the fact that actually is a correct statement on the mat. But never mind. We'll carry on.
I'm scrolling through a whole bunch of pictures from a Blake 7 uniforms, and I do not see any that look like these.
Don't care.
Wherever I heard it, it was wrong.
Yes, good. Right, let's get on. Right, so we meet the crew. I'll say Prentice Hancock playing Salamar, who's a miserable sod, and he's quite quickly up against another chap whose name I forget, who's far too old to be in a crew on a spaceship, in my view.
No, he's not.
He looks far too old. Anyway,
You mean Vyshinsky, right?
Vyshinsky, yes. Anyways, lots of things are going on. The Doctor and Sarah arrive, and all the lights are out, and they're poking around this sort of spaceship and finding dead bodies. And Sarah then goes back to the TARDIS. She finds her way back to the TARDIS very easily. For a jungle, I would have thought that would be quite tricky, but I'm sure...
Yeah, she heads back there quite quick, doesn't she? Yeah.
Mary would have probably picked us.
Normally, in the olden days, it would have been problematic trying to get anywhere, wouldn't it, really? But now it's like, yeah, go back to the TARDIS.
She hasn't exactly got a sat-nav with her or anything. She finds it very easy, goes inside, and then a few members of the crew turn up, and... And Sorensen, they're all working it, because they've actually come to meet Sorensen, this crew, by the way, because Sorensen's got a load of experiments going on, because he wants to harvest some minerals from the planet that are going to be quite useful. I can't remember what the use for the minerals were, but I'm sure Kirby's just
energy.
About... I beg your pardon? Energy, is it? Okay.
Energy, yes. Okay. That's what Sorensen's looking for.
Alan T. Putcher says, I don't do that. I don't know what he means. Right, so they
meet. I also found it interesting that they can transport the ship. I mean, they can transport the TARDIS up to the ship the way the Daleks did in the modern series.
What, by a crane?
No.
Beamed it on?
Beamed it on.
Anyway,
interesting how you can beam up a transcendentally whatever.
Yes. Well,
where's this cat? Come on, cat.
Shut up, Alan. Bloody cat. Right. Right. So yeah. So quickly, Sarah or the Doctor gets sort of what would you call it? Kidnapped, not kidnapped, arrested by the crew, because they immediately, as perhaps in Doctor Who quite a lot, the Doctor gets accused of killing all these people. Sarah decides to stay in the TARDIS for a bit, because can she see what's going on outside? Because they're all camped outside the TARDIS for a bit. And that's right, and then the TARDIS gets beamed onto the ship. She has no choice but to step outside. Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry, I said no.
Yes.
And yeah, ship's actually quite good.
That's another thing. Michael Wisher's on
yeah,
the ship.
I know. I did. I wondered where
you. This is the very last story for Doctor Who.
I wondered how long it was going to take for you to point
that
out.
And it's strange to see him normal rather than under loads of makeup.
Yeah, he's very
or
thin, though, isn't he? All his previous appearances on Doctor Who, he hasn't looked as thin as he does in this particular story. Anyway, so like I say, the Doctor's arrested by Prentice Hancock's crew, and the one of the soldiers, which a black chap who was the Doctor in 40 Towers. Do you remember the Doctor in 40 Towers? When
yes,
I think
absolutely.
It was the Germans.
Yeah, the Germans.
He was. He didn't last very long in this story because he was sent off. Actually, he's a very good actor, this chap.
Master.
Been in loads of things in the 70s. Yes?
He's Louis Mahoney. He was also in Blink.
Yeah. Was he? I don't remember him in Blink.
Yes.
Oh, he played the old bloke who was flirting with...
Yes.
Oh, who was he flirting with now?
Sally Sparrow.
Not Sally Sparrow. He was the Doctor's companion at the time. He was flirting with her.
No, he was flirting with Sally Sparrow.
Was he?
Yes. Yeah. She goes and sees him. And
then, okay. I'm confused. I haven't seen Blink for ages.
Gorgeous girl, he calls her.
We will watch
you know.
Blink at some point during this particular adventure. Right, so... Yeah, so he gets sent out into the jungle.
I love the fact that they...
Jesus.
I think that was one of the first times they brought back someone from the classic series.
Was it?
It's amongst the first, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yes.
They brought back that matey who directed Caves of Androzani before they brought him back.
No, I'm talking about actors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably find that is actually wrong when we actually come into the new era, whenever that's going to be. Quite a few years, I would have thought. Right.
Oh,
back
that's a question I had, Master. When we are, since we're going through the journey, are we going to continue the journey into the new era, all the way through?
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh God. Can we continue, please?
I just saw what you did.
Right. So, I'm trying to go where my DVD things they'd given up. Right. So Sarah is on the spaceship. Some of the crew members get done in, and a strange looking sort of red outline monster appears.
It's the monster from the id, from Forbidden Planet.
Is it?
Well, it's pretty much based on it, yeah.
Okay. So basically, it looks like the end of episode one that's going to get the Doctor and Sarah. But
yeah, the difference is between Forbidden Planet, which is an excellent movie, and this monster is that in Forbidden Planet it was an animated monster animated by Disney animators, and this is a guy wearing a suit with little CSO strips on him.
Ah, okay. Alan T. Butcher says, cause about the lip thing, he says, I don't do that. Oh, because he's a politician. I was just talking about 1970s politicians.
70s.
And then he said the lip thing. And then he says Billy Shipton.
Yes.
Well, I'll get that cat away from the microphone. Right, anyway, so the Doctor and Sarah are about to get done in, but the monsters get distracted by one of the red shirts.
At midnight.
Right, no, I'm going to start deducting points in a minute. Right, let's see. So I'm going to point deducted for...
Don't you dare.
Debbie. Right, hang on, I've got to put that on my... I haven't even got the score chart tab, actually.
Don't worry, Debbie, since we're both in the quiz, I'll deliberately miss a question so you can get that point back. Shut
up. Right, point deducted for Kirby.
How did we get both? That's funny.
Right, so they're about to get killed, but the monsters get distracted by one of the red shirts, like I said earlier on. And then they go hide. Sarah and the Doctor go hiding in the jungle.
In the jungle, the monkey jungle.
The commanders of the spaceship decide to deploy this ocular thingy, which is a little eye thing that floats around. It's quite cool, actually. Don't know why the eye looks a bit like a cat's eye, but...
why not? What should it look like? In that technology, maybe camera, that's what maybe? It should look like.
Maybe camera lens, perhaps? I don't know. Anyway, so they deploy this thing, and it goes sort of looking around, and the Doctor and Sarah are spotted on it. Sorensen, meanwhile, keeps on looking like he's got some sort of migraine. He keeps rubbing his face.
Nettie, why are you wearing that leopard skin? Oh, that's why I'm spotted.
What are you talking about?
I was quoting the Goon Show. I often quote the Goon Show.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So, the Doctor and Sarah...
Hey, I'm an American who knows what the Goon Show is. Come on.
A large black hole, and they're big followed to hole. The big black hole by... the ocular thing, and then discovered by a load of the crew members. And then I said about the Doctor from Fawlty Towers. This is where he dies. He falls down the hole, and the Doctor looks into the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and says something on the lines of, "You must do as I say, otherwise, you know, we're all going to get killed or whatever." Did anybody spot him breaking the fourth wall there, looking straight?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did. Good.
You know, if the Doctor can survive the fall down later on, why doesn't Ponty?
I don't know. That's the thing that Mary probably would have picked up on. Anyway, so the Sorensen keeps on bringing parts or minerals from the planet onto the spaceship.
Antimatter.
Anti who?
Antimatter.
What about Uncle Matter? How's he? Is he still on there?
Badum ching.
Right, point deductive for doing a badum ching. I'm only joking. Yeah, the Doctor finds some. I thought it was quite interesting when they look at these crystals or whatever they are, that they've got the different coloured lights that are shining through them. That's quite.
That was silly.
And then he collects some into a toffee box, not a box that may have contained jelly babies. Interestingly.
Yeah, what does that say? Oh, it is a toffee box.
Yes, it is a toffee box. I just said that. Anyway, so I'll just get my score page open while we're here. Scores. I've got to delete everybody else off it today because nobody else could be bothered to turn up for the show. It's a bit like having Debbie in the background. I'm only joking, Deb. Just joking, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, delete. And
I don't like that interest to the ship with the ladders and stuff.
Delete and delete. Okay, right. I've now got the score page. Delete. And let's get the scores right. Zero. Oh, no. Kirby's on -2.
What?
Oh, and I put +2. -2.
-3.
And 0. Zero. Oh, well, you weren't. You were actually on -1, but as you volunteered to be on -3, you are now on -3. Right, okay.
I have an idea. Why don't you put us all on 0?
No.
Yeah.
So, the monsters now start appearing on the actual spaceship, and people keep on dying. I'm glad they've got quite a large crew at the beginning of the story, otherwise we wouldn't have many people left to kill. So the Doctor goes back to the pit on his own, and he sort of looks like he wants to have some sort of conversation with it. Sarah keeps on zoning out, but that's never really explained. Oh, God.
Now, yeah. The one thing interesting about this part of the story is the Doctor is missing his scarf.
Yes.
In fact, one of the first times I watched this, I remember the girls were a lot younger, and they came into the room and looked on the screen, and they were familiar with the Doctor, and they saw the Doctor standing on the edge of the pit there mm-hmm. without a scarf, and they went, "Who's that?"
What?
Because they didn't recognize him without the scarf.
Right. It's not the first time he's not worn the scarf. He certainly didn't wear the scarf in Genesis of the Daleks when he nicked the suit of the soldier. And a couple of other occasions he's had to wear other costumes. So it's not the first time he's not worn the scarf. Hey, Debbie.
I think it's not, is it? Because he didn't wear the scarf.
Oh, you were close. If you'd answered the pesh question quickly, then you would have got yourself a point, but decided not to say yes, Adam. You're right. Bad luck.
Yes, Adam, you are right, but I'm trying to work out which one. And
yes, Matthew, you're always right.
Too late.
He didn't wear it in the Sontaran, did he? You know, he wore a Scottish tartan instead, didn't he?
Don't you mean the Sontaran? Don't you mean the Zygon thingy?
Zygon, that's what I meant.
But
he did
wear. That's true, actually. Very
it's
good.
Been an awfully long week. I do apologise.
There's been a couple of occasions, so that's a bit of a bit nonsensical. Anyway, what happens apart from obviously Sarah sort of looking a bit shocked? The Doctor falls down the pit, and they do another freeze frame. Yes, indeed, they've done a couple of freeze frame cliffhangers. In this era of Doctor Who, one was Sarah falling down, and now the Doctor's fallen down, and they freeze. Kirby's gone all quiet, but that's probably quite a.
You should bring in Isabella to say something
Isabella's
about people falling down.
Isabella's not feeling very well, and she did enjoy watching Jumanji and seeing Karen Gillan falling down on several occasions in that film. And for anybody who hasn't seen Jumanji, Karen Gillan's very nice looking. Right. And Dave Simon had his picture taken with her at the BAFTAs, which was very frustrating as well. In fact, he had his picture taken with Angelina Jolie and a few other people. It's very frustrating. How does he do that? Git! He does meet and have his picture taken with some really, really cool people. and how he makes a living from it, I really don't know, because I don't think he does anything else. Right, so Laurie Nick says, maybe Alan should bring back that lip thingy. Play to the constituents. Sorry, Laurie, I can read, but not on this occasion. And Ian Kirk has posted his transcript for his feedback. Right, so, like I say, the Doctor falls down the pit, and while falling down the pit, there's some really strange sort of twisty-turny things going on with the special effects.
I wish I'd been able to watch this a second time through with the info text on, but I was only able to watch it one time through this time.
Okay. So anyway, it looks like he stops at some point and has some sort of interaction with the creature, or planet, I think it was, in fact. And then at some point he's rejected and Sarah helps him out. And then he collapses. And I think he gets stretchered back into the spaceship, if I remember rightly. Sorensen has a funny moment where his eyelids turn a sort of red colour. All he needed to do was open his eyes up, they would have been fine, but no. And then this is where we get the Jekyll and Hyde thing, it's quite amusing, and he drinks the steamy substance, which helps him, apparently, and his eyes go back to normal. What got me is that during that scene, he was obviously recording some sort of log, but what was the point in showing that? But they could have used that log as some sort of proof that he wasn't quite right, because there was a recording of it happening sort of thing, but that didn't...
Oh, another weird thing in the scene where he's walking down the corridor with Salamar.
Yes.
And apparently the camera bumps into something, because the camera just goes...
Oh, does it? I didn't see that bit.
Yeah.
So the Doctor is unconscious when he gets brought back into the spaceship and gets tended to by some people. And then he wakes up and wonders where he is. And I think that he now knows that the planet isn't happy about things being taken from it, and they must return every tiny little mineral that they've taken, or they will never leave the planet, essentially. But Salamar plays a few of his 70s hits, moans a lot, and tries to stamp his authority, rather like a petulant teenager, it's got to be said. And but they still try to leave, but the planet pulls the ship back. And
wait a sec.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
The funeral there where they're ejecting the coffin out into space to establish that you can eject a coffin into space, isn't that funeral for Ponty?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't know.
Because there's no body for Ponty. He fell down the pit.
I don't know. But there has been those of other people that have been, you know, sort of
okay, maybe
emaciated.
So. Well, there's a question in there somewhere, what religion is so-and-so?
Yeah.
I thought it was Ponty, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I don't know, but I didn't pick up on that. Anyway, so, Sorensen starts transforming into his Jekyll and Hyde thingy.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and Sarah are shown the funeral machine. So, as obviously we know, at some point they're going to do the same thing to them. And they will be reusing that particular machine in, I think it's Seeds of Doom, the next story, is it? Oh, I can't remember now. The one with the crinoids in it, Kirby, you'll know.
I will not know because that's a Fourth Doctor story I've never seen.
It's a six-parter, so if that's the next one, there'll be a two-week gap.
No, that's not. Next is...
Pyramids of Mars.
Pyramids of Mars,
Pyramids of Mars.
And I've seen that one.
Yeah, okay, good. Well,
had you seen this one, Debbie?
No, I hadn't seen this
one. Oh, okay,
right,
cool.
Point deducted for Kirby, because that's a question I normally ask at the end.
Thank you, sir.
Now minus four.
Hey, I lose another.
Yeah.
Trying to do my job for me. Right. Hey?
No, I was genuinely curious. That's why I asked.
Well, you would have found out if you'd waited. You and your spoilers. So, like I say, what is it? I always get confused with the Seeds of Doom and the Seeds of Death. It's a stupid having two titles almost identical, but for the sake of one word. Anybody?
How about there's a lot of things, like the Planet of.
No. Which is the Tom Baker story? Is it Seeds of Doom or Seeds of Death?
I don't know.
You're not much help, are you?
I could look it up.
Anyway, the crinoid one. There is a scene in which they've got a similar arrangement, but the coffin thing doesn't get sort of sucked into space. It gets sucked into a compost maker, basically. But we'll see that later. Right. Anyway.
Isn't that the one where they reuse a creature from another...
Point for Debbie for finally coming up with the answer I was looking for. I beg your pardon,
what
Kirby?
Was it? I didn't hear.
Deeds of Doom.
You don't get another point for saying it twice, Debbie.
No, I know. I'm just telling him.
Anyway.
And that's because I asked.
These points, dear, plea dears, in which Sarah keeps zoning out. This isn't explained?
Yeah, she does, doesn't she? She says it's because she's sensitive to the antimatter, isn't it?
Is she? Why?
Well, she hints at it a couple of times that she feels the difference in the air when the antimatter's about or something.
Okay. Yeah. But not really approved. Alan T. Putcher says doom, and that's what's basically he's predicting what's going to be happening to Kirby if he gets too many more points deducted.
We've got a couple of stories coming up, now that I've brought up the list, that I have not ever seen.
Okay.
And we're coming up to the ones that I remember and have seen, so I'm very happy.
All right, shush.
I've not seen Android Invasion either.
Mm. Okay.
Somebody came round and gave that to DVD.
Shush. For Kirby. For going on.
Hey.
All right.
I was talking to you.
Okay, where
you're getting
we?
Points deducted by proxy in a minute. Right. So, where do we get up to? Right, so Sarah's zoned out, and Sorensen keeps on killing people and drinking out of steamy cups and having sort of eyelids that have gone bright red and massive headaches. Salamara does a few of their 70s hits and then decides to tie the Doctor and Sarah into the little coffin things and eject them into space. The other chap, the old bloke, I can't remember his name, doesn't quite agree with this particular attitude, and I love the bit where Sarah says, "Oh, you can't! It's murder!" And they have
Vyshinsky.
They have a bit of a battle, and what's his name again? Not Vyshinsky, the other chap, Prentice Hancock.
Salamar.
Yeah, pushes the other chap's hand onto the handle to eject the two coffins into space. And they slide away, disappear, and that's the end of that episode. Now, what I thought was quite funny about that scene, because obviously it does get repeated at the beginning of episode 4, but when he pulls the handle back, because obviously Michael Wisher gets killed. Now, and the other funny thing about Michael Wisher's character getting killed, I told about him being all skinny. He didn't look that much different when he was getting done in, the skinny him, to when they found that the slightly yellow version of him being, he was just as skinny when he was dead to when he was being attacked. But because there was obviously this thing going on, get that cat away from the microphone. They've gone. They've been ejected. Yet they had time to, as soon as he pulled the handle back, they could pop straight back again. There wasn't a pause for them to come back. They immediately came back rather than a few seconds and then they come back.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like they'd been sent out through the walls of the spaceship.
So I thought that was a bit silly. So, and then there's another argument that they did this. How could they do this? You just had them strapped to a coffin. You're about to eject them into space. They're the cause of this. Out comes the lip and the sulk. He's a real petulant teenager, isn't he?
I think he's in charge, honestly.
How does Sarah get out of the coffin? And anyway, she gets out of the coffin and helps the doctor out. I don't know how that happened, but they did.
That's a good question.
Then Salamar takes control of the ship. And he will regret it, apparently. Not Salamar, the other chap, Vyshinsky. Takes control of the ship, and of course, Salamar says that he will regret it. So there's another scene I always wanted to talk about. I'm just trying to find it now. Bear with. It was a scene in which Terry Walsh, I think, makes a brief appearance before getting done in.
I think Terry Walsh ends up dying in one scene, and we see him alive again.
That's right. Yes, we talked about this last time.
Yes, I noticed that.
In fact, we noticed it last time, and I didn't notice it on this occasion. But yeah, when we last 5 years ago, we noticed that.
I heard about it
5 years ago, Kirby. We noticed that particular feature. Anyway, so the doctor starts gathering up all available minerals, and that's right, and heads off to the black hole. And hang on, Sorensen decides he's going to sacrifice himself because he realises, I suppose, that he's a problem. But right in the middle of about to sacrifice himself, he changes into the Jekyll and Hyde version of himself. And, so, that's right. The Doctor...
There's Mr. Hyde's all over the ship.
Yeah, the Doctor captures Sorensen and puts him together in some shackle, which I quite like the fact he's moving his arms around and it's bending. What happens? That's right, they end up fighting around the pit, and Sorensen falls down the pit, and the Doctor throws in a box of minerals, and Sorensen, normal Sorensen, gets spat back out again, and he's perfectly right. So everybody lives, apart from all the people that have died.
You know that since Master, since Sorensen was a creature when he fell down the pit, does that make him a creature from the pit?
That's very good. Unusually good for you. Very annoying. The Doctor sits him in a spaceship. In his TARDIS and tells him he'll be all right. Basically, what got me is that the creature returns Sorensen, but what about all the people that were dead? What was the point? Planet wanted?
Those poor people. Yeah.
All the planet wanted was its minerals back. So what minerals did all these people that are killed have in them that they wanted? And I don't know. So that this would have been a everybody lives story, which would have made sense that the planet returned all the people it had taken myself, but it didn't always. Stephen Moffat would have written it that way. And that's it. Yes, the Doctor returns. He hasn't got a scarf until the end of the story, and everybody lives happily ever after. Vroom away. So right, Planet of Evil. It's pretty good, really. But there's a lot of things that leave you asking questions, as I've been asking questions. I did actually enjoy the story. But there is a bit of silliness. There's a bit of Monty Python about it in regards to, obviously, the Jekyll and Hyde comedy. Not perfect. But I don't know why I like it, because there's so many little things in it that are stupid. But I do like it.
Yeah, but that's what we love about Doctor Who.
Not all the time. Yeah. Sometimes I hate it so much, the stupidity, that I think, this is really rubbish. But this was actually quite good, but it just had things that any sane adult would think, oh, for God's sake. But it was actually quite entertaining. It's really annoying. Why is it good? It shouldn't be. Kirby, what did you think?
I'm going to slightly disagree with you.
Oh, God, here we go.
I don't really like this one.
Well, that's essentially what I was saying. I do like it, but why do I like it?
I can watch it, but it's not one that I'm going to pull out to
watch
again a lot.
That's what she said.
The only reason I pulled this one out...
That's what she said.
The only reason that I watched it this time around is because we had to watch it. It's not something that's... It's not one of my favorites at all. I do find it interesting because it does have what's his name who becomes Professor Marius.
Oh,
and
yes,
he's,
yes, yes,
his,
yes.
Since the characters are so different, he does a fantastic job.
He's an actor, Kirby. That's what actors do. Just a fun fact.
Well, in a lot of cases, they don't. They're playing pretty much the same person. And in this case, Marius and Sorensen are so different. I like this one. I like the half on the planet a lot better than all the running around on the ship.
Oh, it's traditional Doctor Who, all the corridor stuff.
Yeah, Frederick Jaeger, that's his name.
Frederick Jaeger.
Sorensen,
yeah. And also Professor Marius.
Yes.
And it's okay, but it's not horrible.
I know Mary would, and I'd love to, obviously, if someone can remind me next time Mary's on to ask me what she thought of this story briefly, I don't think she'd like it at all. I think the reason why I like it is because I'm a long-standing Doctor Who fan and who just loves watching stories of Tom Baker in them and with Elizabeth Slade in them, et cetera, et cetera. And that might be the only reason that I actually quite enjoy it.
I remember watching this one back in 79 or 80 or whenever it was, and it was okay, but I think it was one of the very first ones that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
But I kept pushing forward because next was good old Pyramids of Mars.
Yeah, Pyramids of Mars, and I thought it was the Seeds of Doom. Right then, so thank you. Kirby, Alan T. Butcher says, Sarah is sensitive to Auntie Matty, as she also has an auntie. And then...
Auntie Lavinia, yes.
Then it's Auntie... Auntie Lavinia, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, Alan. Right. Debbie, have you seen this episode before?
No.
No.
Go on, then.
You mean this story. It's got four episodes.
You know what's going to happen, Kirby, don't you?
No, you are not. He is right.
So being extremely cheeky.
No, I'm being
Debbie?
Pedantic.
Debbie?
He's being pedantic as well, he is.
Debbie.
Well, I think about this story, for want of a better word, this story is short but sweet. I'm not sure I'll revisit it unless we end up watching it again for some reason. But
Please,
I'm with you on this one, Adam. I liked it, but I'm not sure why.
Oh, dear.
Hang on, I need to see what that text message is.
Hang on, just gotta reboot. Hang on.
No.
Well, I like the idea of finding the energy and things like that, and basically the energy fighting back.
Yeah.
The antimatter saying, no, I don't want to be used. I don't want to leave my planet. I'm quite happy where I am. Thank you very much. Is basically what was going on. And just short but sweet. Lots to complain about, but I really enjoyed it.
To
you too.
This is 42. It's 42 was redone. It's the same story.
Is it?
Really?
Well, there's 42.
About it.
Yeah, but no, not quite. The 42 was a sun, was it not, in that particular story?
Yeah.
It's similar.
It's a sun instead of a planet.
Similar idea. But not the same. Yeah? And I think 42 was... 42 is actually better than this, I would guess, if you're...
Burn!
No. But and the glowy eye thing was done a bit better as well, wasn't it, if I remember right?
I suppose
it was a bit 42-ish. Go on then, Kirby, you can have that one.
Thank you.
Is that what that text message was all about, by the way?
No, the text message was an indication from Julia that she had sent me an email.
Oh.
Whenever any of the family members send me an email, I also get a text message, so it'll remind me to go and read it.
Okay, right. Okay, let's move on to feedback.
Right.
Alan T. Butcher, first of all. I'm not going to do his feedback yet, but Alan T. Butcher, I think you might be watching. So, could you, as two choices, could you private message me which of our two incumbents you'd like to read the feedback? Meanwhile, Jeff Waddle said, yes, we know it's almost a complete rip-off, stroke a homage of Forbidden Planet, or as Kirby says, what was it, Kirby? 42?
No, but it's not, the whole thing is not a ripoff of Forbidden Planet, just the monster.
Okay. But it's still a cracking story. A great jungle set, true. Great idea of an antimatter
jungle,
monster.
Mighty jungle.
Well, the great idea of an antimatter monster, that was Star Trek, had already done that a few years earlier. So I think you probably have to give Star Trek the credit for the using antimatter, you know, as a sort of different universe, different monster type thing. Anyway, I'll move on. And such a good story that they made their own rip-off of it in New Who, or Homage 42. Though I won't be able to check that, as that's another one of my increasingly large list of New Who stories I won't be watching again. Not the best of this era of Who, but not nearly the worst. Mind you, I haven't watched it since 1975. Maybe it's rubbish. Who knows? Well, you should have watched it, Jeff.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for your feedback. Has Alan replied with my request yet? Otherwise, we'll have to move on to the next. Over the way,
yeah,
Kirby.
Yeah. Okay. I just noticed someone's watching along, is watching the live feed, named Andy Nunny.
Andy Nunny. So why are you watching a live feed, Andy Nunny, and not partaking in the show?
He said Stormageddon's acting up.
Oh, Stormageddon's acting up. Oh, okay, fair enough. That's
but he's still watching.
That's acceptable.
Well, maybe Stormy's experiencing it and loving it and being calm for a change, so, yeah.
Okay. Right, where did I get up to? Sorry, I got slightly distracted by that thing then. Well, the minute some... Oh, there, I nearly lost my Gmail. I've completely lost the plot now. Deb, help, I've lost the plot now.
Deb, we need to know who's going to read it. I say that Debbie reads it.
Well, we don't always do what you say.
Has Ian sent any feedback?
Yes, that's not what I was surprised.
You said you'd lost your plot, so I was helping.
Yeah, not that sort of plot. I know where I am on that side of things. What I was about to talk about. Nevertheless, we'll move back to so I'm trying to do a bit of filling here while I'm clicking on message screens and per people who are going to receive the feedback. Because the person who Alan T. Butcher have decided is going to read the feedback is just about to receive it.
Right.
Excellent.
I've just realised as it's held it up that I had the don't forget to invoice Lavazzi thing sent to you and it bounced back.
I invoiced them.
What's wrong, Isla? Come down, what's the matter? You feel sick.
Oh no. Good. I don't know what to say now. That's going to have to be this.
Tom's on it. Don't worry. No, I'm here. Tom's on it.
Oh, poor Isla. There's a lot of that going around at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, she's had it though. She had it like 2 weeks ago. We really don't want this to happen again because I really can't take more time off work because of sick bugs.
Well, did you see the Bella Potts has got some...
I'm hoping we don't get that again. That's been the third
year
in a row we got it.
Can you get it twice?
No, I've had it three times now.
Oh, you can't get it twice, but you can get it three times.
No, you can. You can get scarlet fever constantly.
You said no, right. Point deducted for not listening to what I was saying. No, carry on.
I was listening either. Primords in space or Billy Shipton the middle years? Dear 20 megabyters, the planet of evil is of course a closely studied proposition about the relationship between the conscious and unconscious mind. It obviously posits a psychological hypothesis that these aspects of a personality must be finely balanced and discrete or else oh my god, deleterious effects, deleterious, I don't know, effects will manifest and cause damage. As the story begins, the survey team has been destroyed by their close proximity and invasive contact. What?
The survey team?
Don't know.
Shut up.
Oh, you don't know. You haven't seen the first Leela story.
No.
Okay. It's a play on that. Never mind.
Don't give anything away, will you, Kirby? Do apologise, Debbie.
I assumed everyone had seen that one.
No, you don't always assume things. Point deducted. Carry on, Debbie.
As the story begins, the survey team has been destroyed by their close proximity and invasive contact with the antimatter on Zeta Minor. The clash of id and ego has had its malign consequence. Then the Morstrands turn up, and in attempting to leave with the now entangled polarized matters, it sets up further problems, leading to the devastation of another crew. So now the sundering of the id and ego has a likewise inimical outcome. Why did you send it to me?
Because he asked me to.
By restoring the balance and resolving the clash, the Doctor achieves a sound mind once more, albeit only part of the damage is restored to normality and full health. It should be noted that although some might suggest that Davros is looking much better after looking very peaky, not to say downright unwell much of the time a few weeks ago, in fact, this is actor Michael Wisher once again creating a different role. Mm. We also learn that Professor Marius went a bit off the rails after packing off K-9 with the Doctor and changing his own name to Sorensen and then getting into energy research. Although he's brought back to normal after his close encounter with his auntie Matty, he went on to be a Doctor Who fan and leader of a savage society of questionable morality before redeeming himself and submitting to Stephen Taylor as his overlord.
What?
All in all, the Planet of Evil is a load of pseudo-scientific hogwash. As such, it is formed into a fine example of Doctor Who as a science fantasy TV show with something of a whiff of a 1960s sensibility about it. Sad as it is to have said goodbye to a resident imbecile, the excellent Harry Sullivan, we now see the very successful partnership between Sarah and the Fourth Doctor fully realised. Is perhaps 6 episodes too long due to some strange physics of antimatter, which they may have got away with as nobody understood it. Next up, Doctor Who and the Dodgy Pyramid Scheme, Sutek's Gift Return to Sender. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan.
I always considered this, because of the story order, I considered Professor Marius to be after Sorensen, although they are still the same person.
Yes, that was confusing, but he knows what he was talking about.
Sorry about the cat meowing in the background.
Not good enough.
I wouldn't pay attention to her, so she left.
Not good enough. I didn't actually hear that. Never mind.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast is in Kirk.
Hooray.
Hybrid creature running amok. Part of Evil by Robert Louis Marx. Antimatter would be an amazing source of energy. There is no evidence of a source beyond the edge of the known universe. Mm. It is a fantasy TV show.
Mm.
There's a bit of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Is there?
Also, the special effects from The Forbidden Planet. The movie, not the science fiction shop. Other science fiction shops are available, such as whowon.co.uk.
Good,
is that whowon.co.uk?
It would have been a bit shorter if the Doctor had ejected Sorensen and the canister into space. Next time on the 20 Megawatt Podcast, grab a cushion for the Pyramids of Mars.
Thank you, Ian. Grab a cushion.
Oh, I love that.
Grab a cushion for the Pyramids of Mars.
Oh, in the hand holding down the cushion as Sutek rises from his chair.
Oh, that's yes. Right. Yes.
I don't know how many times I saw that story and never saw that until it was pointed out to me.
Yeah.
And now I can't help but see it.
Indeed. Look forward to seeing that again.
Yeah, I love that one.
All right. I'm just having a look back through my archive. Unfortunately, any previous feedback we had for this particular story was before I had my Gmail account, so there's nothing here for it, I'm afraid. Sorry. Right, so what was mentioned on your request this week then, Gabby?
Let me see. Probably not much. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Lori Nix said, dang it all, Facebook just ate my four-paragraph notated, closely studied examination of the plant of evil. And then she says, now I only have time for a few twee comments. One, every girl in eighth grade either had or wanted to wear Sarah Jane's outfit. Two, who doesn't love life-sucking semi-invisible antimatter monsters from the edge of the known galaxy?
Mm.
Hush, Mary. Three, the story is set and FX were straight out of the golden age of pulp sci-fi fantasy. Think Astounding Stories or New Worlds, and thus the best kind. Four, when in doubt, always toss in an unnecessary to the plot, scenery chewy, Mr. Hyde transformation. It keeps the actors happy.
Anything else?
Nope. Sorry.
That was excellent, Laurie.
What, the sneeze?
No.
It was excellent, Laurie. Now, who was it that went to Gallifrey 1 quite recently?
Wasn't it Laurie?
Now, who hasn't provided with any insight into her experiences at Gallifrey 1?
She shared a couple of good pics.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I was talking about. She went there as our representative, and I haven't heard anything back.
She gave out. She said somewhere she gave out lots of.
Yeah. Things.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I haven't seen that.
February. Okay, go back in the 20 megabyte Facebook page.
No, that's your job.
She has a picture of a whole bunch of. Keepers of the Flame.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. Yes, I saw that. Yes.
And says, although constant shenanigans kept me busy, I didn't forget you all at Galley.
Oh, bless her! Right. That's what I wanted to hear, because I haven't had time to really look through much on the Facebook page. So this is a special thing for Laurie. She's probably not watching at the moment, but she'll probably post now. Yes, I am. She's going to get one of these. Not the actual bell itself. That stays here. That's an audio prize. I beg your pardon. Are you talking over me, explaining what that was? Right.
Okay, no.
He asked you if you wanted him to carry on reading what Laurie had written.
Yes, I do.
Although con shenanigans kept me busy, I didn't forget you all at Galley.
I heard that bit. Hope
you don't mind, but I took the initiative and personally handed out 250 small 2x2-inch cards with the name of the podcast and podcast webpage address, along with my training ribbon, suggesting fellow attendees check you out. Hotel Wi-Fi was dreadful, so no way to do play-by-play. She collected a special ribbon for me of the video game character. It says Kirby's First Galley, which apparently...
That was for Laurie, by the way. Carry on, Kirby.
There was a small boy handing these things out. And I was somewhat surprised because most Kirby's nowadays are girls.
Yeah. Well.
Anything else?
Nope.
Right. That's a mission accomplished for Laurie. I apologise, but obviously sometimes I don't get a chance to read what comes up on the 20 megabyte group page. Fortunately, we have about umpteen admins that are supposed to do that for me. In the events that I don't get a chance
understand.
To do so.
Debbie, I don't understand, Master, because you and I spend all of our time on Facebook, and yep. He apparently spends very little time on Facebook.
Aaron T. Butcher says, Marius was about year 5,000, Sorensen was about year 30,000, the Hartnell story, The Savages,
right.
was the extreme far future, I think. And then Laura Nick says, you doubt my love? Not anymore, Laurie.
Actually, Alan, it depends on the dating protocol.
Don't start all that stuff, please, Kirby. Otherwise, we'll be here all night and I'll be having to play this bit of music. Anyway, enough of that. But Laurie then says, trying to explain this podcast to people even 5 seconds was interesting. In even 5 seconds. It sounds to me, Laurie, that you did a far better job than a certain very attractive lady with long brown hair did at the Isle of Wight Comic Con. Wait for it. She's gone very quiet. It's very unusual for her to go very quiet. She's not giggling, which means she's cross. I'll give her
I'm
a point.
Not cross.
I'll give her. Oh, bless her. Right then, let's get on. I think it's now... Peg Bodden?
I laughed.
Did you? I didn't hear that. Right, it's now time for this week's edition of... To get me out of a big hole. This week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
One of us will.
Right, the Olympic Games have just finished, and this therefore leads to a USA versus Great Britain, or USA versus UK edition of You Won't Get This One. And because Kirby's so far behind in the amount of points he's had deducted, some people might think I'm a bit biased towards the UK. So therefore, I'm going to redeem him of all the points I deducted and make it even.
Thank you, sir.
And the first question...
Who's going to...
Careful. We're not going to do any of that. It's pointless, because you're going to say yourself and Debbie to be second or the other way around and vice versa. Pointless.
Yes.
So it's just a straight you against Debbie.
I do have to warn you. I do have notes.
You can have points deducted for interrupting me at right stupid times, just as normal. Right then. So first question goes to Kirby. Where's me... Oh, there it is. I couldn't find my priority jingle folder for a second. I actually really, really need that. Right, okay. Right, the first question goes to Kirby. It's this. Whose grave tag was planted in the ground at the beginning of the story?
Joker.
Yeah.
Edgar Lum. You want the rest of what was on it?
No, I don't, funny enough. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What... year is Planet of Evil set?
I know.
$37,166.
I love the way she does a ridiculously long pause before coming up with the answer.
I'm checking my notes. I did write a few.
Okay, good girl, good girl. Kirby.
See, that was the rest of what was on the thing.
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
Right. Who was the bearded man at the base?
Wish I could joke her again, because this one reminds me... Well, I'll say it's Brown, or B-R-A-U-N. Yeah.
Just
the reason
the
I know it, Master...
Go on.
The reason I know it, I noted this. There's the Dalek at Con Cerberus is named Brown after... Werner von Braun.
Right. This show could be about 300% longer if we just go, they give the answers and just move on. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
How many degrees tonight was it when Baldwin leaves Sorensen?
Joker, 15.
Correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
Who was the first one to die?
The Monty Python guy, whatever his name was.
His name would be quite important. That's part of the answer.
I don't know.
Okay, Debbie.
Brown.
No.
I don't know. Sorry.
That was the answer to the previous question.
Yeah.
No, it was Lorenzo. Debbie.
Yes?
What is the name of the planet?
I know.
I've read it about a million billion times.
So therefore you can provide me with the answer.
Yeah.
Zeta Minor.
Pardon?
Zeta Minor.
Yay!
Okay, there's 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What is the planet's claim to fame?
I know.
Yes?
It's the last planet of the known universe!
Here's the correct answer.
Which they said about 3 times.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who is assigned to lead the landing party?
The old guy, Vyshinsky.
Debbie.
Yes?
What does the doctor plan to fetch from the TARDIS? What item?
Spectrum.
She's trying to answer.
Oh, go on, pardon, say again.
Electromixer. Electromixer.
Yeah, that'll do. Thank you very much, yes. Correct answer. Right, so I'm not going to give the score update because the scores are level. Kirby.
Master.
How many was there in Sorensen's expedition?
Several.
No, the precise number, thank you very much.
I don't know. I didn't count.
Okay, Debbie.
Eight.
Indeed. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What type of prisoner does Salamar pronounce Sarah Jane to be once she is aboard the spaceship? No punctuation in that question at all, which made it very Shatner-esque for me to read. I'll do it again. What type of prisoner does Salamar pronounce Sarah Jane to be once she is aboard the spaceship?
An oxygen type.
What I'm going to do is this. Right.
Okay.
Kirby? Any ideas?
I'm kind of agreeing with Debbie because of the breathing issue she had. So I don't know.
Oh, I think that's, I know what Adam's referring to. It's a bit late, though.
Okay, so we do that. The answer is Morristran prisoner or something like that.
Yeah.
Morristran. Well, that's Morristran is the their society's name for themselves.
Never mind for that.
Yeah, no, and he refers to them as, you know, he says you are a Morristran prisoner.
Yes, he did. Okay. Exactly right. So there's 3 points in the bonus pot. That was your question, Debbie, that last one, wasn't it? Debbie?
Yes, it was.
So three points in the bonus pot for this question. Who does the monster kill instead of the Doctor and Sarah?
It's the guy who was wandering by at the appropriate moment, but I don't know if he had a name.
Well, he did have a name, obviously, otherwise he wouldn't be the answer.
Oh, Clara!
Good grief.
I'm trying to catch up on my notes.
Correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
I've lost where I was. Oh, anyway. What did Salamar plan to launch at first light to help capture the Doctor and Sarah?
The Oculoid Tracker.
Debbie.
The eye thing.
Shut up. Debbie.
Yes.
After analysation, it was established how were humans killed. What was the result? Hang on. Sorry, I'll do that again. After analysation, it was established how the humans were killed. What was the result?
I know.
A type of total dehydration.
Interesting.
Completely.
Shut up, Kirby.
Yeah.
Freeze drying.
I'll give you that. It's rapid freeze drying.
It's the same thing. So give her the point.
Right, point deducted for Kirby for because he knows full well. He knows full well that we go by what it says in the answers on the thing here, whether it's the same thing or not, because we're talking about script. Comments and stuff like that. Okay, so there's... Was that your question, Debbie?
That was my question.
Right, there's a point at 1 point in the bonus pot. For this question, who is the first to fall into the hole?
I know.
I thought you might do.
Ponty.
Not...
Or,
right. Pointed at... What? Oh, sorry. No, sorry. Sorry. That was a mistake. I pressed on the wrong thing. Sorry. I'm getting confused. Yeah, go on then. Sorry, Kirby. I'll give you an extra point.
Yeah,
for me being
Louis Mahoney, in other words.
Yeah, thank you. I'll give you an extra point because I was a bit stupid then. And I said shut up and there was no need to, and I feel really, really bad for once. Right, yes, it was indeed. Ponty. Right, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
How much of the material gathering does Sorensen predict would produce heat equivalent to the output of our own sun over a period of 3 centuries?
I know.
Do you?
6 pounds.
Yay!
I think Kirby even surprised herself with the answer to that question. Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
When the force field barrier fails, what does the Doctor suggest lining it to?
No idea.
Oh, okay. Kirby?
Haven't the foggiest.
Oh, okay. We'll do this then. And then do this then. So the answer was of lost where I was. Hang on.
Oh,
I
found it. Never mind. Bit late.
Go on then. Well, what, see if I've got the right answer. You won't get any points for it. What is it?
Atomic accelerator.
It is correct. That's what it was. It would have been the correct answer, Debbie. And you went, I don't know, too quickly. We're only about 5 seconds into the countdown music.
Yeah, this is why I don't
write
notes anymore.
It doesn't matter. You put it right. You should have had some faith in yourself. Right. So, 2 points in the bonus pot. What did Michael Wisher play? What part, sorry, did Michael Wisher play?
I know.
Go on, then.
Morelli.
Hey.
Right. So, Kirby, your question.
Pasta.
What does Vyshinsky describe the hole that the Doctor falls into? Describes it. What's the description?
It's something that's between this universe and next, a vortex.
Well, that's good enough for me. Right. Right. So next question goes to Kirby.
No, that was my.
Was it? Oh shit! Yeah. I mean, bother. Sorry. Oh bother. Yes.
Ooh.
Debbie.
Yes.
What ought to be the space service motto according to Dehaene?
No idea, sorry.
God, again, you're only like 10 seconds into the countdown music and you give up. You give up far too easy. All right, Kirby?
Something like back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, something like is not quite what I'm looking for. And I know it's carry them in, carry them out.
Oh, darn.
Okay, 2 points in the bonus pot again. Whose equation on knowledge does the Doctor quote after Sarah helps him out of the hole?
What is that?
It's some news coming through. Probably something superfluous. Major incident has been declared by police after reports of an explosion in Leicester. Okay, there we go.
Oh, dear.
Right, where did we get up to before that happened?
Someone know? This one?
Whose question is it? Oh, it's a bonus pot, isn't it?
Yeah, it was bonus pot.
Anybody know?
Sure.
I think we're in a hole and we need to get out.
That's not the answer, no. The answer was Van der Velts. Okay, Van der Velts. Right, so next question goes to Kirby.
Yeah, Van der Velts.
Yeah. Kirby?
Master?
What is Sarah forgetting when she fears that they might be marooned in space?
Probably that the TARDIS is right there with them.
There we go. Debbie.
Yes.
What denomination was Morelli? The note page is being turned over. Wait for 10 seconds to pass before she gives up.
Don't let me do that.
He knows how long my notes are. No, I don't know.
That was 15 seconds before you gave in. All right. It's Kirby?
It's Moristran Orthodox, and that now answers the question for me. It was Morelli's funeral, not Ponti's funeral. So they did have a body.
Splendid. 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Who is Anti-Man Sorensen's second victim?
What was that?
Somebody
messaging me. Who was Anti-Man Sorensen's second victim?
I can guess if she doesn't know.
It's a bonus pot, so you just come in with an answer. Oh! Debbie. Wow, there you go. That was a... salvaging, yes, it was indeed Dehaene. Right then, next question goes to Kirby.
Master,
what does Salamar attack Anti-Man with?
His lower lip.
No, all right, I'm gonna get you answered the question. No, Debbie,
It's the... Oh, my God.
It was the Oh, My God?
Oh, I can remember the doctor... I haven't written it down. I can remember the doctor shouting at him to not use the...
She's thinking.
Neutron accelerator.
Like, ooh, no, it wasn't. You actually started saying it before a Pessa did it, so well done.
I'm not doing notes again.
You do notes? I thought you weren't doing them anyway.
I'd started doing them again, and I'm obviously writing
too much. In microscopic handwriting again?
Yeah.
Obviously, because she's hyper competitive. Okay, 1 point in the bonus pot.
Master.
How many minutes to impact after Ranjit is killed? Grief.
Is this the bonus pot?
Yes.
Yeah. So take it.
Is it 16 minutes?
Yes, it is. It took about 16 minutes for you to come up with the answer.
Is Ranjit the one who goes, ah?
They all went, ah, didn't they?
Yeah, he does it dramatically twice, I think.
Oh, does he? Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, okay, so that was a bonus pot question. Next pot, question goes to Kirby. Not many left now, thank goodness. And it is how many seconds to impact before the probe stops?
I did make a note of this one, 25. Yeah.
So ironically, how many points you have now, which is quite interesting. Debbie.
How many points does Debbie have?
I'll tell you that later. Debbie.
Yes.
Right. What did the doctor tell Sorensen he had...
Yes, said...
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking you the question. She shouted at me, Kirby.
I think you're on a...
I'm on a what?
Oh, she's still there?
I think we're on a bit of a delay because I'm talking. Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
This is fascinating. She's only like 300 yards away. Right. We're going to have to be very careful how we do this. Right. Now, I'm going to ask the question again and then wait 3.5 hours for the delay to come in and for Deb to actually answer the question. So how many seconds to impact before the probe stops?
No, that's me. I just answered that.
Oh, that was your fault. Yeah, sorry. So therefore...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but do you have to wait 30 minutes for me to answer the question? Right. Okay, right. What did the doctor tell Sorensen that he had derived a new energy source from?
The kinetic force of planetary movement.
God, that was... On the
did
suspense.
Did you actually get me then?
The suspense between the answer... Oh, never mind. Right then, so there's... how many questions left? We've got 2 questions left, so fortunately nothing in the bonus pot. Kirby?
Master?
Who played Sorensen?
Frederick Jaeger.
And Debbie?
Yay.
Yes?
Lewis Marx wrote Planet of Evil. What was his next story?
I know.
Don't know, sorry.
Okay, so we play this. And Kirby, you know...
It's the Mask of Mandragora, also known as Return to the Village.
All right, so that's it then. The final scores in this very basic episode of You Won't Get This One, and some of them did. In last place, with 22 points, it's Debbie. But the winner this week with 28 points is Kirby. Right, so Laura Nick says, didn't Debbie run the Comic-Con kissing booth?
No, I'm not sure about that, but I'm definitely doing it this year.
I bet you are. right. Let's look at Doctor Who News.
Master?
Yes?
Master, I am updating the database right now with the winner.
Congratulations. We need the winners of all the previous episodes, though, Kirby has trouble.
Well, that's going to take a while, but I do plan to do it.
Not a lot of Doctor Who news this week. The main thing, of course, is that they've released the new logo for the forthcoming series of Doctor Who.
I like it.
It is quite a nice logo. There's two versions. One's a circle with the word Who in the middle, and the other one is the word Doctor Who out in one line with some strange cross burnings, a bit sort of Star Wars-esque, I suppose you'd call it. And a hint of the theme tune, maybe. It's not the actual theme tune, but a hint of it. And a lovely picture of the Doctor perched on a hill stroke mountain with the TARDIS in the background in a sort of dusky environment. David Tennant has been at a charity premiere of a film called You, Me and Him. Or is it a film? Or is it? I think it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is a film.
Yeah. Which includes Faye Marseille, Georgia Tennant, who I don't know who that is, and Sally Phillips, and is directed by Daisy Atkins. Premiered on the 31st of, or will premiere, sorry, on the 31st of March. And there's a load of new sort of Target-styled books coming out. Rose.
Well, they are Target novelizations.
I know, but they're very... I know they are, but the way they're styled is very sort of 70s-ish. Yeah, as you would look... Debbie, help me. He's been horrible to me again. I'm trying to indicate to people that they're sort of Target... classic Target novel-styled Target books. So, Rose...
What they ought to do is get Alistair to do some of the covers.
Yeah, not now. You didn't do the covers in those days. Rose by Russell T. Davis. And then Day of the Doctor... by Stephen Moffat, and Christmas Invasion by Jenny T. Colgan. Cool! If you like your novels, I reckon Debbie should get those and review them for us.
That'd be cool.
I bet you can get them from who1.co.uk as well.
I bet I can.
Right, this is quite an interesting bit of news. The Doctor Who Experience leaves Cardiff with a £1 million bill. The Cardiff Council taxpayers have been left with a £1.1 million bill following the closure of the Doctor Who Experience, which ran in the city for 5 years. The building housing the Experience was built by Cardiff City Council using money from the Welsh Government's Invest to Save Fund, which provides financial support on a competitive and repayable basis to public service organisations across Wales. The cost of £2.4 million was intended to be repaid by the receiving a percentage of the exhibition ticket sales. However, it appears that ticket sales were not sufficient for the council to recover its costs, leaving ratepayers to pick up the shortfall. Councillor Russell Goodway, Cardiff's Cabinet Member for Investment and Development, said in 2011, when the deal was done to subsidise the Doctor Who attraction in order to bring it to Cardiff, the then administration worked on the basis of ambitious projections for visitor numbers. Unfortunately, the projected visitor numbers failed to materialise, leaving the shortfall, which should have been made up in ticket sales. This has left the council having to make up the £1.1 million, which will have to be absorbed by the council's budget. We are, however, working on plans for the building with the Welsh Government, although nothing has been yet finalised. Now, what sounds to me is they probably... Now, when I booked tickets for the Doctor Experience, it was very difficult getting a slot anyway, and you had to book quite a long way in advance, and they had loads... If you were lucky, you could get ones that had studio tours and stuff like that, and tours around the city for locations and things like that. Now, I'm feeling that perhaps they didn't have the right pricing for the tickets. I don't know. Either way, they gave up too easy, in my view, or they just... needed to have, you know, what they should do with it, Debbie, is they should move it back to Blackpool. The Doctor Who Museum was in Blackpool. They should have some sort of restart a Doctor Who sort of attraction in Blackpool. It's
they
really
need
good
something.
You do need something. Need something. We had loads. In fact,
you know what I'd like? I heard that back in the 80s that there was even a traveling exhibit here in the U.S.
Was there?
I wish they'd do that again.
But I think before they had the Doctor Who Experience, there was quite a few small Doctor Who exhibitions and museums around the country. And as soon as, because I think some of their actual exhibits went to the Doctor Who Experience, those particular places had to close down. I remember that the one in Blackpool was particularly good. So this is a shame, but you know, I think people should, you know, consider opening up Doctor Who museums in places that would work. Blackpool is a seaside resort, and I think it would work particularly well there. Excuse me, it's such a shame. But there you go, that's news for this week. Whoone.co.uk.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Has a few latest products. There's some Blake's 7 Big Finish audio. There's also Missy Chronicles, Doctor Who book, hardback book, price $9.99. There's a Doctor Who magazine 521 with Jodie Whittaker on the cover, and 522 with a Dalek and Empire Daleks on the cover. And of course, like we said before, the Mr. Man books are also available.
You need to get more of those.
Yeah, they're very, to have the whole lot would cost a blimmin' fortune. But I would like
yeah,
to have
I get them like one at a time. I've got two of them now. I'll probably get another one. I may add one to an Amazon order this afternoon.
Oh, lucky you. There's also barbecue tongs in the shape of the Sonic screwdriver, which at the moment wouldn't be much good here in the UK. But, you know, if we get lucky and get a nice hot summer, that could be quite useful.
I could use them because I don't know if you noticed, I was cutting the grass yesterday.
No, we wouldn't be cutting the grass. Yeah. It's very nice, very nice sunshiny weather we're having at the moment, but it's icy cold.
It's raining right now, so
we've got no heating at work.
Well, get them to sort it out. It's a legal requirement.
I'm not trying.
Cool box mug, which is police box, as in the TARDIS. I don't know why they call it, because perhaps they're not allowed to call it, because the word TARDIS is a BBC copyright. So obviously, thank you, Star. Star just doing a piggy impression.
Why is it the Alexa? Skill can say, computer, tell the TARDIS. How's that skill work?
Ask the TARDIS box to do an emergency landing.
Computer, ask the TARDIS box to do an emergency landing.
Yay!
I love your over-enthusiastic yay there, Deb. That was fascinating.
Like, he was so excited about it last week. I was kind of hoping he'd got it already.
I got it while we were still recording.
That doesn't surprise me. Right, lavazi.co.uk, who have are supposed to be paying me some money soon, but I think they have done. I can't remember. Hopefully they haven't, because my bank account's not looking too good. I've got some Doctor Who items for sale. Scarves.
No.
Scarves are essential. He's having an argument with Alexa at the moment, listeners. I do apologise. Not me saying no to, otherwise we'd be getting points deducted next week. So you can get scarves and cosplay items for the Seventh Doctor, which
I'm going to have to unplug her. That's the only way to stop her.
Just say, Alexa, stop. Simple. Or computer, stop.
Computer, stop.
I'll do it a bit slower than that myself.
Okay, it did.
Farewell, Doctor. Oh, God. So Paisley scarves, the Seventh Doctor cosplay items are a particular feature of Lavazzi's website, but of course the Fourth Doctor's iconic scarf, which Deb will buy one day, I'm sure, are a particular must for any Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Beg your pardon, Deb?
I said, yeah.
Oh, no, you're lovely, aren't you? We love Deb, don't we, Kirby?
Yes.
Oh,
Star Trek items are also available. A live long and prosper umbrella, particularly, which is quite topical at the moment, because with me quite enjoying the classic cartoon series of Star Trek, which is still bloody superb. And I alluded to that last week, the fact that it was superb. Really, really enjoying that. But please, if you haven't had a chance to watch Discovery, do it, because it's I was also advised that it's good because once you get to the end of the series and you get all the sort of plot lines all draw together and you know, because I can't reveal what happened because it is a plot, but it means you can go back and rewatch it and see where the clues were, because apparently the clues were there in plain sight all the way through the series, so well worth watching. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say on the Star Trek thing. I'm very tempted to watch Voyager again because we have a certain Voyager star appearing at Isle of Wight Comic Con.
Oh, yes.
Which I have to mention. And I keep on getting people come up to me and saying, oh, is it Bob from Stranger Things that was played by Sean Astin? Oh, he's coming to Comic Con. So he's not just in Stranger Things. He's been loads of things.
I know.
War of the Roses. I just found out he was in one of my favourite films. I don't know how he manages just to appear in my favourite films. It's ridiculous.
Goonies is one of my all-time favourite films.
I didn't even know. He's not in that. It's not one of my favourite ones. But if I list off four of my favourite films, he's in them. Yeah.
You don't like the Goonies?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just say it's not one of my favourite films. But War of the Roses, Click, the 51st Dates. There was another one that I can't remember at the moment, but he's in them anyway. And he's
The Hobbit.
I've already
Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings saga is not one of my favourite sagas. To be fair. Too many battles, too long, too long, drawn out, a bit yawny. But I have watched them. And they do have a certain charm, but I don't really. I wouldn't watch them again by choice, you know.
I would.
Would
over
you?
And over. We have
yeah,
the extended
watched
edition
over and over again. Okay, here, I'm but sure. The
yes,
we
I'm
don't
not.
Tend
I
to
know.
Watch.
I know. But for me, I would watch them if I had absolutely nothing else in the whole universe left to watch. Sadly, I've got the Big Bang Theory and loads of other things I want to catch up on before I think of. I know what I need to do. Watch Lord of the Rings. But there you go. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying that, you know, it's something that I don't fancy watching at the moment. Maybe one day in the future I'll watch it along with The Hobbits, because I think it might be a good idea to watch The Hobbits first and then watch Lord of the Rings.
No. The Hobbits are... they're inferior.
No, I'm talking about inferior. a timeline sort of side of things.
Doesn't matter.
Does it not?
It's inferior.
Okay. But Sylvester McCoy's in them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You've got a perfectly good story. Why ruin it? You know.
So you decide.
Yeah. Why make something you can read in 4 hours, and three long films?
Well, this is the thing. So I find that Lord of the Rings okay. I think that the first and second ones are pretty good. The third one, I went to watch in the cinema, and I found myself struggling to stay awake because I timed it and I did watch it a second time. 45 minutes of superfluous battle that was really too long for a battle scene.
No, the yes. battle's in the book.
It may well be, but when you're watching it and you sat and watch it, it's too long. Too long. But the saga in itself is very, very good. And there's some great performances acting-wise in it, it's got to be said. So, yeah. But I don't want to spend half an hour talking about Lord of the Rings. I was trying to talk about how brilliant Sean Astin is. And I've bought a photo shoot with him, so I'm hoping Isabella will be allowed in on that particular photo shoot because of her connections with Click, because she does like Click and Stranger Things, which she's mad on. So there you go.
I want to get a photo shoot with him, but with Isla and Tom involved as well.
Yes, well, that would be good for on the Lord of the Rings basis.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's either £25 or £30. I don't think that's too bad for a big star like him.
Sorry. No,
I do apologise. Right, so next week, listeners and viewers, we have a story called The Pyramids of Mars. I say it like that because I always remember Alistair Pearson talking about one of his artworks, and he did announce it in that way. Laurie Nick says, The Missy Chronicles are hard to get in the US, so should probably order from Who Won. Very, very good, Laurie, very good. So... Pyramids of Mars next week. That will be next week because it's not a six-part story. So I've got a bridal fair in Ventnor next Sunday, but it doesn't matter. I should be home in time to do the show. So, yes, Kirby, you're going to say.
It's the 4th. Okay.
What? It's the 4th of March.
I'm actually off work next Sunday, which would be terrific.
4th of March, dear. 4th of March. Okay.
I'm just hoping that no other blooming builders or something turns up wanting me to stay on late. It's all I've done.
Well, I hope that too, because we miss you when you're not on the show, Deb.
I hate it. I know the shop refit needs doing, but my God, the fact that I have to be there as basically security has just been draining.
Poor thing.
We've done Pyramids of Mars before. We did in 2014.
Okay, so are you saying we don't have to do it again then?
No, we have to do it again.
Hopefully Andy will be back this week.
Look at that. Next Debbie week, has done this one.
I've done this one.
Okay, well, shut up then. Yeah, so hopefully Andy and Mary will be back next week. Shut up.
We need Andy on it.
Shut up. So, thank you everybody for watching, listening, and contributing to the show. Please continue to continue to do so. But until next week, the Pyramids of Mars. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.